Open up to Hebrews chapter 12. 21 days of prayer starting tomorrow. Right now, though, we're going to talk about pursuing Jesus hard, like really going after him. That might conjure up all kinds of different ideas or thoughts in your head. I don't know if you've had a season like this. For us as a fellowship, it's been a little bit of time since we've gone through or had a time of prayer and fasting. We used to do somewhat of a regular basis, like a week of prayer and fasting. And those were powerful moments. You know how it goes, though. You kind of dread going into it, especially the fasting part, because you kind of, I live to eat. And so you wake up thinking, I can't, like, what's going to be lunch today? And you anticipate what that is. And as soon as lunch is done, like, I'm confessing to you, it's a problem probably. But as soon as lunch is finished, it's like, Kristen, what's for dinner? Like, just so I can anticipate and be excited. It's a dopamine response in my body. It's like I'm learning all, you know, there's this huge push right now to dopamine fast because we're crazy Americans and we have to have everything and we're crazy. And then we realize it's really unhealthy to be crazy. And so we're trying to get this lack of dopamine, but it's for me, just the texture and all these things. Anyway, we've got a chance to pray. And as the Lord leads you, for whatever it looks like, there's no prescription for this to fast. Now, biblically speaking, fasting is not eating food. And for some of you, that might not be possible. For a lot of you, it is. And so it's a good thing to do. What it is, it's setting aside time to just seek after the Lord, which is the whole point of this thing, to pursue him. Is there anything magical about not eating? Well, physically, yeah, kind of, it's good for you. But spiritually speaking, what is it? There's nothing magical about it other than you're deciding to say, like, I'm going to set aside something so necessary because I want you, Jesus, and I just want to seek after him. And so he responds to that. The Lord sees it. It's a pleasing thing to him, right? We already have his righteousness. It's not like we're earning favor or anything of that nature. It's just we're saying, God, I want more of you, and like, here's a way that I can do it. I'm not even going to eat because I want to hang out with you, right? And so you sense, though, there's a way that the spirit and the body interact to where you sense a need and you pursue him. And so consider that as we get into it. So Hebrews chapter 12, that's a little prelude. We'll get into this and we'll talk more about different disciplines of that nature. Therefore, we also, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, we'll have to pause for a second because here we are. What's the therefore? Therefore, chapter 11 of Hebrews discussed all these people who came before and who by faith, right? By faith followed after the Lord. In the midst of crazy circumstances, and a lot of times, let's be honest, they failed pretty miserably. If you look through all the stories that are here, there are people who fail, but ultimately they followed the Lord. And things got crazy, right? They were sawn in two, some were stoned, but they continued to faithfully follow the Lord. There was a race that they had run, and so now we get into this, chapter 12. Because of all of that, the example that's been set before us, therefore we also, right? We're included in that. We also, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, notice what it says, let us lay aside every weight, and the sin which so easily ensnares, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. And then the verse that we'll really be looking at over the next 21 days, looking unto Jesus, right? If you get nothing out of this service or anything else, this is it. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher or perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Verse 3, for consider him, think about him, meditate on him, put your mind where he is, set your mind on things above. Consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. If you're weary and discouraged in your souls, what's the remedy? Jesus, right? Looking to him. But not just looking, as we find here, it's considering, like thinking about him and all that. So we're going to look at what that means. And hopefully walk through some practical things. The first thing, back up there in verse 1, let us lay aside, right? Consider what this means, lay aside. Get it out of the way. Prepare yourself. Make yourself ready. remove every hindrance. And then the question is, what is it that you need to set aside? So this is probably a normal question. You get asked this. And if you ever wonder, I was thinking a really good way to find out the answer to this question is ask your spouse. What is it that I need to lay it aside? Or what's some sin that gets in the way? And they usually can help you figure that out. You have to be really careful though, obviously. But I have a wife, and she's one that sharpens me. And God has used her more than any other person in my life to shape me and to fashion me. And God has used her in really powerful ways. We have each other. Those of you who don't have a spouse, you have a friend who you can talk to and ask. Sometimes the outside perspective can really help a whole lot. And so what is it that I need to lay aside? For me personally, I talk about this on occasion where I can veg out at night because life is crazy. I'm not saying that this is wrong, by the way, but there's times where I can do less of that and fill that space with something that's actually productive rather than watching some stupid YouTube video that does nothing for me at all, right? Except keep me awake longer because I'm watching something that's doing that. We have a chance to replace things. And as we go into this time, like, what is it that God wants to do? These are questions, things you've got to consider. You can do whatever you want. I know that you know that. But there is, I guess, a plea going out that the next 21 days, starting on Monday, that, like, we would allow the Lord space to speak. And sometimes that space gets crowded with things that we're being asked to lay aside, right? Get this out of the way. Hindrance, things that easily ensnare us. You have weights and sins, right? Weights are those things like I was describing. Not necessarily even wrong. It just isn't worth the time. It's not worth the effort. It gets in the way of interacting with my kids. It gets in the way of me pouring into my wife or other people or things of that nature. What is that? You got that time, right? And it's like, how do I fill that time? And so the author of Hebrews is like, lay it aside. Whatever it is, you guys have to fill in the blanks on what that might look like. But prepare yourself, right? Get it out of the way. Remove it so that you can run well. I've got a crazy illustration that I'll explain here in a second. But we want to get these things out of the way. Number two, right? So the first thing, lay it aside. Number two, we're not there yet. Run with endurance. Forgive me. Run with endurance, the race that is set before you. That's the Greek word hupomone. Means to remain under. Hypo, right? Like low. Hyper is way up. And then mone or meno is abide or to remain, right? It's when Jesus said abide in me, he said meno, right? And so this is the idea of like, I'm going to stay. It's consistency, steadfastness, remaining underneath, not moving when things get crazy and hard, but I'm going to stay right where I'm supposed to be. It's translated oftentimes patience. We'll look at a couple of scriptures here that deal with that. But he says, run with endurance. And so you think, what does it look like for me to run with endurance? What does it mean to remain steadfast and consistent, to not move, to not waver? This is difficult and hard sometimes. Scripture, though. Romans chapter 5, verse 3, ways to encourage you. Same exact word being used here. This is meant to just explain what this word looks like and what it means in Scripture. Paul going on and saying, not only that, we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation or difficulty produces perseverance. Same exact word, endurance. Tribulation produces endurance. Tribulation produces steadfastness. Tribulation produces constancy, consistency, staying exactly as you ought. As humans, right, we undulate. If you guys have read Screwtape Letters, there's a law of undulation where we go up and down, right? And we're trying so hard to be consistent like he is, as we'll find out here in a second. He is consistent, and our best effort at consistency is down and up, right? But hopefully we trend like this, right? We're trending up, or for you guys, it'd be like this, I guess. We're trying to trend this way. And so as the Lord allows us and speaks, and as he offers us his grace, as he fills us with his Spirit, this is something that we can only do by his strength. I want to be steadfast for the sake of my family, for the sake of the church, for the sake of my friends, community, in Christ, right? Unwavering, that as sin comes or weights come, we're able to bear underneath of it and do something for the kingdom. We've been called to that. Tribulation produces perseverance. And that endurance and that steadfastness, well, it has an effect. It has a fruit. What's the fruit of that? Character and character hope. Builds us up. Enables us to walk as God has called us to walk. And so we anticipate this. were surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. They experienced difficulty and tribulation. You guys are going through it and whatever, however the Lord has it. But here's the thing, it produces something. And we can be sure of that. So we're saying, God, what is it that you want to do? Help me to run the race with endurance, right? Not falling or capitulating, giving in, but running with endurance. Romans chapter 15, verse 5, it says, now may the God of patience. How do we do this? Well, we have a God who is this, right? Who's filled us with his spirit and who enables us to do this. Hopefully this isn't Christian cliche. It's actually real. It's truth. It's something that we get to hold on to, hold fast to. We have a God who is patient. There's a couple different words for patient in scripture, sometimes translated that. The other one is macrothymos, which means like long burning, where there's just things are really crazy and you keep going. Really similar, they're synonyms, but they are different words in scripture. But this one is patience, to remain steadfast, to not move away. We have a God who is that, who's been that, who is faithful, that we hold on to, we trust, and so we look to him for it. He's also the God of comfort. And may he grant you to be like-minded toward one another according to Christ Jesus. And finally, Luke chapter 8, verse 15. But the ones, this is in reference to the sower, right? You sow the seed out. But the ones that fell on good soil are those who, having heard the word and have a noble and good heart, keep the word, right? So you've heard it, and then those who keep it, and they bear fruit with patience, because it takes time, doesn't it? Remember back in Hebrews, consider him, lest you grow weary, right? Lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. We are looking to Jesus. And there's been times and seasons undoubtedly that you guys have walked through where you have been on fire and your heart burns for him. You're hungry for him, right? This morning, Ed, in first service, saying, as the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after you. It's like, I want that, you know, as you're thirsty. Yesterday, we spent time, I ran in the morning and then went golfing. So I was outside all day. And yesterday was a miserable day. And my wife was sharing a crazy story about me with me, not about me, but with me, about corn sweat. Have you guys heard about this? Corn sweat? It's why they say the Midwest is so humid. It's because in a single day, a crop of corn can release 40,000 gallons of water into the air, up from the soil, and then like does it some fancy word she said that I forget. But that's why the Midwest can experience some of the most miserable humidity, worse than Florida. When I lived in St. Kitts, this is worse. It's horrible here. You get a breeze and a view in St. Kitts. Here, you've got corn, right? You got corn that sweats. That's the whole problem, right? It's corn sweat. So if you ever wonder why it's affordable to live here, it's corn sweat, right? Now you know. All right, the more you know. Remember, what we're really trying to remember is looking unto Jesus, okay? All of you are going to remember corn sweat now. But we're looking unto Jesus, okay? Well, I don't even know why I told you guys that. Oh, I was thirsty. Out all day, corn sweat. I was thirsty. And as much as I wanted water, I want Jesus. Okay. Good illustration. All right. A much better one, I think. There's this thing. This is in reference to endurance and running like crazy. There's this race called the Tennessee Mile or Mid-State Mile. And it's run in Tennessee. It's a one-mile race and 340 feet of elevation, which is a pretty significant amount for 1 mile. And what the race is you only have to do 1 mile. You have to do 1 mile and 20 minutes. That's it, right? So that's averaging 3 miles an hour, which almost everybody in here could probably walk 3 miles an hour, even maybe even uphill, right? Because if you go uphill, as you know, you get to go downhill. And so 3 miles an hour, you think, well, how, like, I could do that, right? And the cool part about this race is it goes until the last person falls over. And that's it. You don't win anything. There's a waiting list to be a part of this race because people are messed up, right? Why would anybody want to do this? I get it. I think this would be really fun to do here as a fundraiser, I think, on campus. But one mile every 20 minutes is all you have to do. If you do it in 10 minutes, you get a 10-minute break, and you go back to the tent area, you sit down, you eat stuff, you drink fluids, you get yourself ready, you're rubbing out your muscles, and you got to be up to the line by the time the gun starts again. If you're not, then you're out of the race, and you got to go sit down and watch and do that. 1 mile every 20 minutes. Endurance, right? Like, we could probably do that. You could run or walk 3 miles an hour. How long could you do it though, right? So this year in June, they ran it and a guy named Justin Hamilton won it. And he completed, right, get this, he completed 128 laps straight. Isn't that crazy? These guys are messed up. 128 laps. In case you were wondering, because I know you were. In case you were wondering, that's 42 straight hours of 20 minutes, right? 42 straight hours of going for nothing. I mean, for nothing. What do we get, you guys? We get a crown, right? We get to know Jesus. Consider the end of our race is that. It's so similar to this. Last I checked, you're probably going to get up in the morning tomorrow, and you can relate our like life to this. Every day we wake up, and every one of you get, what, 24 hours? Every single one of us, 24 hours to live, to do this. God has called us to this. Anyway, Justin Hamilton, 128 laps, 43,500 feet of elevation by the end of all of this. And this diet, this guy is crazy. You have to be weird in here to do that, but run with endurance. Like, that's impressive. There's other races that are incredible and impressive. This one is just kind of crazy because it's simple. 1 mile every 20 minutes. That's it. You think, well, that's no problem. But then you do like 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 or 9 or 10 of those, and all of a sudden you're like, man, this is tough. How do you get to 128? You're just crazy, right? Something's wrong with you. I want that to be the case for us, right? That we're crazy, that something's wrong with us because we're following Christ, and every day we wake up, and guess what? He gives us new grace. He gives us new mercy. He gives us new power in his spirit. Every day is like that. You get a chance to follow him like this every day. Is it hard? And I love this illustration because there are some hard things you guys go through on a daily basis. And yet, like, okay, Lord, I could do this. In him, I could do this. We're running the race with endurance. First thing, though, is lay aside all the weight and sin that so easily ensnares us. You can imagine or envision that the people that are competing in this particular race are not wearing weight vests, right? They're not wearing combat boots, none of these things. They are as bare as you can publicly be and not get arrested, right? They have stripped everything down and they are as light as they can be because they want to be able to compete well. And I look at that and I'm convicted by it because my life just might not be so pared down like that, right? And so I get 21 days and you guys, let's do it together, to just sit before the Lord and to pursue him and ask him to pare these things down, to reveal in our lives areas or reasons why I can't run with endurance because I don't know how to pace myself or because I'm lazy or I try to go really hard and then I fall. Like, I need friends to come around and support me, right? And so consider this, run with endurance. The third thing, the race that is set before us, and we kind of just discussed a little bit of that. I'll briefly share some things here, but I wanted to note that, like, or to make note that it's just assumed, right? It's not like the author here said, and just so you guys know, we are in a race. And he's explaining. No, he just, like, we just know we are. We're in a race, following Christ, knowing him, making him known, making disciples. Jesus called us. We went through all of it last week and the weeks prior, right? Talking through what Christ has done and all the things that he did on the cross, the resurrection, and then calling us or sending us out to go and make disciples. That's the race that we get to be a part of. Each of you will run it differently. God has called you to specific things, and it's like, what are those things? Well, we have 21 days to seek after that, to allow God to speak to us, to how you guys can go and run your race. What is it that he's called us to? Paul, similar thing, though. He says, fight the good fight of faith, right, in 1 Timothy chapter 6. Similar wording, ideas. What race is set before you, though? So things to consider, like, what is it that you can lay aside? How is it that you can run with endurance? And then what are some things that you would say that would be your race? What are the things that God has called you to? I have a list that I was thinking through. You guys add to it that God is specifically calling you to, things that you deal with, things that you steward, what God has called you to, husband or a wife, right? Being a father, being a mother, these are things that God has called us to. We have sons and daughters. We have grandsons, granddaughters that God has called us to live for him, right? As we've looked in 2 Corinthians, that we no longer live for ourselves, but for him who died and who rose again. And part of that race now that we've entered into, no longer do I live for myself, so I'm setting aside weight, and I'm following after him. You guys are employers. Some of you are employers. That's a race you have before you that God has put you in that position to impact the lives of the people who work for you. You get to do that, right? You get an opportunity day in, day out. You guys have neighbors. The ministry God has called you to, whether it's Awana, whether it's youth ministry, college ministry, whatever it is, what has God called you to serve here in the church and also out in the community? Are there people in here who are called to go plant a church? We're in need of it. What does God do, and how's he stirring your heart to go get after it for him, to do something radical like start a new work? Is God calling you to that? Are you afraid of it? I get it. It's terrifying. We don't serve a God who cowers. He's powerful. We trust him. What is God calling you to do? Leading a Bible study. Maybe he's calling you to go to a Bible study. To know him. To make him known. To win disciples sin. What is God calling you? What race is set before you? Consider it. And be a crazy person. And do it day in, day out. Nonstop. I'm just not going to quit. You resolve and make your mind up. That particular race, the Mid-State Mile there in Tennessee, isn't a race. When you look at these people, they don't look impressive, but they've got something wrong, like I said, in here, right? It's a mentality, isn't it? It's something is set in there where they've just decided, I'm just going to go, and I'm not going to stop. It's a beautiful picture. It's a beautiful resolve that I want to have before me and then my walk with the Lord, that like, I'm going to wake up tomorrow, and I'm going to follow Jesus, right? And I need his help. It's a work of his spirit. We talked about times where we're like following after him. We're excited that he's working in incredible ways. It's like, I could use that refreshment. That the Lord would be moving in powerful ways in my own heart. That I would sense in a very real, in a real way, like his presence. Well, we seek after that. We pursue him. How do we run this race? This is the fourth thing, and then we'll be moving on. How do we run this race? Verse 2, we look to Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, and practical ways of doing so. I'll just list three really quick. You guys will know this. This is Acts 2:42, the word fellowship and prayer. Although the order is the word prayer and fellowship, but for today. But practical ways you can do this. And this is something I'd love to equip you with as we get it ready to go into this 21 days of like how you can set some time aside to do this. Some of you might not have that equipment. Some of you know what's up and you would do way better than this particular list. But for those who don't have it, practical way, how can you look to Jesus? Colossians 3, how can I set my mind on things above? I set my mind in Scripture. And as it relates to Scripture, you read it. And one thing I don't think I put on here is you can hear it, right? You can listen to it, have it playing. You can listen to it, you can read Scripture, you memorize Scripture. You meditate on Scripture. That means you think on it over and over and over again. You have a verse, whether it's in Hebrews or whether it's 2 Corinthians 5, talking about how the love of Christ compels us. Like I meditate on it. I consider that. I allow it to begin to move into my heart and take root. These are disciplines though, right? Disciplines I need help with. Studying God's word. Taking time to consider what it means and to really study through it. And then finally, like all those different things, I want to remember what I've read. I want to remember what I've memorized. I want to bring to my memory the things that I've meditated on, the things I've studied. Memorize on Scripture. You can wake up in the morning and you can read some Scripture and then you can write out a verse that speaks to you, one that God highlights. This is just a thing you could do. Get a note card, write it out, and that's next to you for the rest of the day where you're just meditating on it and considering it. These are things where, here's the thing, you set this time aside, God responds to it. If you can remember, at youth camp, all the kids were gone. Their phones are gone. They're setting aside time. They're spending three times in the Word. And guess what? God moves. And the same thing could be done for you tomorrow and the day after that 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 and so on. If what? If I would take time to just sit with him. He wants to know me. Right? He wants me to know him. He wants to experience the sweetness of relationship. I know so many of you guys know this and you're hungry for it. But sometimes a reminder is helpful as we move into this time. The second thing, prayer. Times of silence. Consider and think the last time that you were able to sit in silence and meditate on him and consider him and not have your mind going crazy about all the other things. It's hard. I get it. It's difficult these days, but it's a discipline that pays off some serious dividends, that there's fruit that comes from sitting in silence and listening to him. Are there scriptures going through your mind? Hey, that's okay. That's him speaking. Silence, when I say silence, like I don't have radio or music, I don't have things going on. It's a quiet place in the house, or it's at a time in the day where like nobody else is awake or everybody's in bed, and I can just sit in silence and be before the Lord and be distraction free, praying through scripture. There's prayers in here. There's things that you guys can go through and consider and think and pray through. There's also lists you can go through and just write down everybody in your life that you can pray for. There's things that you're going through, questions you need answered, life issues that are happening that you can write down, open up your phone or open up your journal or whatever it is, a piece of paper, and in the morning you sit down and just write and then pray through these things. God will help. Otherwise, what happens? My mind goes like this, way over here, and I start thinking about this crazy race or some dude, or you start thinking about all these different things, and I start envisioning in my mind ideas that are worthless, right? But this allows us to sit and focus on what God is calling us to. I need it, just personally. And so my encouragement for you guys to walk in this, Colossians 4:2 says, continue earnestly in prayer. Like, go hard into prayer. And it continues, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. And so I love all this, because sometimes you go through these things and it can be kind of like, oh man, it's maybe how you feel when you know you can't eat. You're like, oh, is there any point in living? And but when you move into times of prayer, times of fasting, like this is or it ought to be like an exciting thing. And you know how it is. Once you enter into it and you're in it, it's so good. You know how it is when you go and you're going to go share the gospel, or you're going to go somewhere or do something and you're like nervous. And then afterwards, it's like life-giving, right? It's the greatest thing ever. You're like, why don't we do this more often? And then a couple of days pass by and you're like, oh man, that's why, because I don't make time for it. And it's scary sometimes and I get nervous, you know, whatever the situation might be. I don't want this to be that. Like, we want to follow him and be excited. All this, though, requires time, a sacrifice like that. Make it so good. We did all that. Prayer, scripture, prayer. The last thing that I can think of, at least, there's so many more. You just get these things, is fellowship. Actually legit fellowship. And, like, praying for each other. Spending time and talking and considering things. And going through stuff with each other that matters. Nothing wrong with playing cornhole, right? Nothing wrong with enjoying time like that. But so much of our gatherings can perhaps just be that, which is a conviction that I could be under. But legitimate times of praying and ministering with one another as believers, right? Doing the first two things together, scripture and prayer, walking together in that, enjoying that time, and then just simply enjoying each other. That we can have fun. We can enjoy each other's presence. We can enjoy hanging out together. That's something that we get to do. God has called us to. How do we look to Jesus? How do we set our minds on him? Scripture, prayer, fellowship. Those are some easy ways. You guys could probably come up with stuff that's way better. But for now, go to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. We're going to start wrapping up. I got this scripture, and then I've got Isaiah, and then we're pretty much done. This is 2 Chronicles chapter 20. We are taking communion today, just so you know. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. The section, you guys will be so familiar with this. It's kind of a classic one on prayer. And it's really good. It's what's inspired much of kind of the season we're going to be going into. And again, if you're not catching this, man, we're asking the Lord to meet us, right? Together as a church. We've asked the school here at Horizon in the mornings. The teachers are going to go through these with their class, you know, each day. And then you guys are waking up in the morning or in the evening or whatever it is, and you're considering and praying through these things each day, pursuing him together. We'll get to that. Okay, 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Starting in verse 9, I'm just going to highlight different sections. This whole thing is good. Time keeps us from going through all of it, but just here's kind of the highlights of all of this. It says, if disaster comes upon us, sword, judgment, pestilence, or famine, notice their resolve. He said, we will stand before this temple and in your presence. For your name is in this temple, and we'll cry out to you in our affliction. And what's the promise? You will hear and save, right? You see the resolve that's there? I'm going to be here. We're going to stand. We're going to do this, and we're going to trust and know that you will hear us and you'll save. Now, this is specifically Jehoshaphat. There's an army coming to get him, right? That's the context here. But there's an extension and application that we can make today, that there's a God who hears us and who will save. He's already done that. In so many ways, but to like today, the things that you're going through, guess what? He'll listen to you. He'll hear you. So we make that resolve. I'm going to stand in your presence and cry out to you. Look at verse 12. It says, oh, our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude. that is coming against us. And notice this type of candor that he has. Nor do we know what to do. You guys ever feel that way? Yeah, all the time right now, right? I have no idea what to do. But our eyes are on you. Isn't that so cool? I have no idea what to do, but my eyes are on you. That can be that way with parenting, trying to be a good husband, trying to lead and be a leader in a position like this. I have no idea what to do. But Lord Jesus does. And so, like, let's look to him. Let him be the one who guides, right? These are words we say. I know it's supposed to. We're supposed to say these words because we're Christians, right? But we really want this, don't we? Like, I really want to just set my eyes on him and allow him to be the one who leads and allow him to be the one who carries these things. Verses 17 and 18, all of this is so good. We're skipping a lot of good stuff. It says, this is the Lord here. You will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourselves and stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem? Do not fear, be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you. Jehoshaphat bowed his head and his face to the ground, and all of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before the Lord, and they worshiped the Lord. That's what we get to do. Isaiah 53:6, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call out that he might hear. So guess what? We're going to seek the Lord. That's what we're going to do. It's simple stuff. Ways to go about it, all right? Kind of how we formatted it. You can go to horizonindy.org. You saw this piece of paper. If you need one, let us know. We have lots more. /21. And kind of spend time there. The idea or concept, when we were going through this, we were having some like kind of vision meetings as a staff and mapping out what this might look like. And the idea that I kind of put before them, the filter that I was looking through was this, that I'm sitting around my dinner table hanging out with my family, and I open up my phone and go to this and just have an opportunity to read through scripture. There's a particular a subject or a theme for each day. Tomorrow we'll be looking unto Jesus. What does it mean to look to him? We'll read through some scriptures and ask some questions and just hopefully develop some habits even. You guys who aren't in the habit of doing stuff like that, like maybe you can develop some habits that'll stick with it. Even beyond this 21 days, right? Even whether it's every single day or whether it's every other day, whatever it is, whatever God calls you to, the hope is that you can sit there with your family or with the people you live with or with your friends, get a group and do this and pray together as a family and kind of make that resolve. Husbands, I'm calling out to you, man, that you guys would walk in that, that you would do it, that you would sense that call in your heart to lead your family in such a way. Is it going to be hard? You better believe it's going to be hard, but you're a man, so deal with it, right? God's fashioned you and made you strong. That's what he's done, made you like that. And so deal with it, walk in it. If you need help, ask for accountability. Ask for other men to hold you. Hey, did you do that today? Did you do it yesterday? So on, so on, so on, right? You guys know how it goes. We're here, we have a body of Christ that's available for that kind of stuff. But every single day we'll have a devo starting tomorrow. Go through it and read it. Every single Friday we'll have an hour of prayer where you can come and join us here in the conference room at 12 o'clock and hang out. Biblically, a fast. What is it? You don't eat food. Okay, we talked about it at the very beginning. You don't eat food. You can fast from other things, of course. Media, TV, et cetera, all these different things. What is God leading you to fast from? Ask him. Let him speak to you. You have your own relationship with the Lord, so let him speak. What's he called you to? I don't know. But if you want to fast, set that time aside. We invite you to do that. 12 o'clock conference room starting this Friday, and we'll do 3 Fridays. And then every Sunday night, we'll have a time of worship. This is starting next Sunday, August 14th. We'll gather at 6:30, and we'll worship, and we'll pray, and then we'll do some more worshiping, and then we're going to do some more praying and seeking the Lord, and then we'll probably worship some more. And so it'll be a time where you can come and just sit, hang out with him, pray, go through all these things. Those of you who have burdens, those of you who have issues, problems, things you're going through, it's a time to come and ask people to pray for you, have people lay hands on you, anoint you with oil. It's a time for gifts of the Spirit to be used, where you guys can minister to one another in a way that's powerful and incredible. Like, we need that. And so for those who maybe haven't done something like this before, I encourage you to come and be a part of it. And to just sit with the Lord and as a church together to really pursue Jesus hard. Like, go after it in a way that's, okay, I've taken enough time. We get to do communion. So they're going to come up and lead us in a song. And Paul's going to lead us in communion. And they'll close us up. Let me pray. Lord Jesus, here we are. We want to look to you. Teach us what that means. strengthen us in you, that we would follow you, Jesus, that you would use us in a powerful way, that you would make us fit for your service, and that as you shape us and transform us by the renewing of our mind, Lord, do a work. We pray that this area that we're in, the community that we're in, the people that we're with would be impacted, that our hearts would burn for you, that we would thirst and hunger for you, Jesus, and that we would do whatever it takes to set things aside, that you would be exalted, that our lives would be shaped and made different because you're the one impacting us. And so for this season that we're getting ready to come up on, we just beg and ask that you would meet us there, that there'd be an expectation that you would move in powerful ways, that strongholds would be broken down, that lives would be made new, that people would get saved, that you would put a calling on people's lives to do some radical things for you, knowing that we've just got one chance, one life to live, and we want to live it for you to the fullest that we can. So all those things are lofty and ideal, but Lord, we want to chase after it. But at the end of the day, God, we want to look to you. And so we trust you. Fill us with your spirit. Enable us to do this work. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.